Hello and welcome to Hot Air. My name is Greg Esser. This week I sit down with Tyler Byram for the third episode of 2018. Tyler Byram, of course, other DC Breeze media personality, and I'm very excited to kind of put the analyst hat on as I talk to him. We've got a full, fresh 2018 Breeze roster to discuss. And he's the kind of guest that allows me to be a little bit more candid, so make some of those predictions, get a little stat heavy at times. I'm excited for it. But more so than I should be excited about this podcast, you should be excited about this podcast. Head on to Twitter, find myself, the Greg Esser, find Tyler Byram for that matter, great sports analysis of college basketball as well as Ultimate, the Tyler Byram, and the DC Breeze, of course, the team's account. Easy parallel construction across all three. I don't think it was intentional, but there you go. You lucked out on that. Easy to remember all three of them. Let's hear what you want to see in terms of players. Coaches are fair game for future guests of the podcast. In past years, I've had players from around the Eastern Division on the podcast, so that could likely happen again. But I need your input. Find us on Twitter to let it be known who and how you want to shape this podcast out of your interests. Tyler and I really talk about the roster a lot today, and that's great. Last week I talked a little bit about the schedule. The one other thing I wanted to talk about in this space was kind of the competitive balance of the Eastern Division going into the year. I think it's a foregone conclusion and a correct one that the Toronto Rush remain the favorites. They retain a lot of their talent. Mark Lloyd, people kind of thought was departing, maybe even retiring this year. He's back as well. They're going to be as good as ever. They've won the division 5 years straight. They have an AUDL championship to their name in that time as well. They have to remain the top dogs. There's been a lot of talk, a rumble, if you will, in New York about the Empire and the additions that they have made, and that's been exciting as well. A lot of people are kind of slotting them in for a favorite position, maybe a second place in the East. The people that cast doubt on that assumption maybe remember that there was a lot of hype around New York last year as well. But let me remind you that even though they were a 6-6 team in 2017... three of those losses were to the Breeze by a combined 4 points. If they would get back those three losses by such a narrow margin, we'd be talking about a playoff team, we'd be talking about a 9-3 team, you know, very small margin. So New York's very close to being a good team, and they've added some big pieces. They've stolen Marquez Brownlee from Philadelphia, Bo Kittredge coming east from the Flamethrowers. This year he'll be on the Empire. Jabron Mizer. On the New York Empire's roster, a great handler, something that maybe they've needed as their D-line has gotten lots of breaks but hasn't always converted. Will be interesting to see how they use him. The Breeze are also going to be competitive this year. They're returning, and we're going to discuss it. You know, a universe line, 10 players or so that truly are the top echelon of the league. And I think you have to consider that they are also in the conversation for maybe even that second spot with New York. I mean, the Breeze were the ones that took not only those three matchups, but also a playoff matchup against New York last year. The rest of the roster, and we're going to talk about it, maybe a little bit less of a reputation coming in, but again, we're talking about the future, about 2018, not about the past, 2017 and before. So even though these guys are untested, I think there's a lot to look forward to in the Breeze performance as well this year. Montreal also making moves, probably also in that playoff picture. Three playoff spots, four teams contending for them, Montreal being the fourth. They've retained a lot of talent as well. They also have made one really big addition in Morgan Hibbert, coming from the West Coast, played in Vancouver in the past. He'll be suiting up for the Royale this year. Montreal are losing, however, Felix Degla, a guy that I've followed in the AUDL for years now with interest because he's been a great player, lots of completions, great handler, and he is retiring. So, with a great addition in Morgan Hibbert, a big loss in Degla. The also-rans in the East, you know, it would be a big upset, I think, to see them in the playoff conversation late, would be the Ottawa Outlaws, who increasingly are developing a little bit of an upper end to their roster. Last year, Kinley Gee and Derek Alexander, two great handlers, didn't play the full slate of games because they got drawn into Worlds in France. They didn't play a full schedule. Mike Lee, the guy who scored 60 goals in 2016, was out last year. He's back. He's captaining the Outlaws this year. They will have a couple high-powered top names on that roster. Philadelphia may be similar, some high-powered top names, but they have a lot of roster turnover, a lot of guys that are still in their senior year of college, 1 year out. Also would be surprising to see the Phoenix into the playoff picture late this year. Wanted to get that summary in, competitive landscape of the East before the season began. Maybe it'll make me look smart, maybe it'll make me look dumb by the end of the year. Our sponsors this year are Papa John's Pizza, Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Apparel, Murphy's Grill, which will be the post-game meetup destination after home games. Speaking of which, a home game this weekend against the Montreal Royale. It is opening day. It is on April 7th at 6:30 at Catholic University. I know they're fighting some weather-related issues, but hopefully everything will go according to plan. Finishing out the sponsors, it's the American Ultimate Academy, Universe Point Cleats, and Cobalt CRM Solutions. Thank you so much to the sponsor for making this possible. Without further hesitation, let me get to the interview, and Tyler Byram, play us in Broke Royals. Great. So I am sitting here with Tyler Byram, second time on Hot Air. Usually my new thing has been introducing players by a series of nicknames that I kind of make up for them, often on the spot based on their playing style. But I don't know your playing style as much, so instead I'll introduce you by some of your announcing prowess. You've PA'd Breeze games, you've announced games for George Mason where you work. I think I can say that on the air. Not a conflict of interest, right?
No, not at all. At least I hope not.
So the velvety voiced, the Twitter storming up about college sports, Tyler Byram.
Yeah, good to be on. Good to have Ultimate back in the fray. I mean, now that I'm not in college anymore, it's been a long off season. Can't get too many hat tournaments in.
You done growed up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, it's not fun.
Sorry, and you should still be able to be the weekend warrior you want to be. I encourage you, Henlopen's on the horizon for more fun Ultimate if you want to get out there, early season Ultimate. But Breeze opening day is upon us, and that's also an opportunity to at least take in Ultimate even if you're not on the field.
Opening day with snow, that's another thing that we'll probably have to talk about at some point in this show.
Yeah, I mean, how do you play in snow?
You don't.
So I went to school. I went to school in upstate New York. I play in knee-deep snow.
So you, every practice, I'm assuming, was snow that was outdoors, or you had indoor practice most of the time.
We played a lot outdoors.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a strategy which is taking one sock, putting it on a foot, then you take a grocery bag, and then you put a second sock on, and then you put on cleats that are a half size too big. Then you can still cut with all of the might that you want. But also your foot stays dry and warm because it's got that inner sock that stays dry because the bag just layers on layers.
That probably would have helped me in some early Pennsylvania, New Jersey tournaments that I went to in college.
That's the secret. We'll see if the Breeze need to do that this opening day.
The one thing about Catholic, for those that haven't been there, beautiful venue. You couldn't ask for a better place to have an Ultimate event. Beautiful concourse area that you're able to throw and toss around. I know that's one thing that fans love to do, especially at Breeze games, but there wasn't that much space at Gallaudet. This year, plenty of space to do plenty of pregame activities if the snow's able to hold off. And, yeah, I mean, I did some time there with my former employer. So it was a good event, good hosting site.
Nice. So really what I wanted to have you on today is to talk a little bit more candidly about the 2018 roster. I can always, on Hot Air, I strive to get a lot of the players on, as you know. But when you're talking to a player, you don't always kind of do the analysis that you might otherwise when you're talking down what we've got in a great opportunity. A lot of new players on the 2018 roster and a couple of returning players that are exciting to talk about too. When you look down this roster, what are your first thoughts? Kick us off here. First blush.
Well, I mean, obviously, and there's one thing you kind of pointed out coming in is that the team's going to have a dominant universe line next year. There's going to be nothing that you're going to be concerned about. When the team needs to score a point in a key moment in the game, they're still going to have the guys that are able to do that. I know some people are worried that there are going to be some players that are not returning in previous years, kind of the faces of the DC Breeze, if you will. But bottom line, they have Lloyd Blake, who's going to have his sophomore year, outstanding campaign for him a year ago. Matt Kerrigan, who's been on the Breeze, seems like forever. Max Castle, who was leading scorer a year ago. You have Jeff Wodach, who was the leading scorer a year before that. And, of course, the guy with all the throws, Rowan McDonald.
Yeah, so actually, it's interesting you mentioned that litany of Breeze history. I think Kerrigan, lead scorer 2015. Wodach, lead scorer 2016. Max Castle, lead scorer 2017. Yep. Amazing trifecta still returning. Actually, Tyler Monroe might squeeze in there for lead scorer last year with Max Castle. One of those two guys, but they were neck and neck most of the way. So those three guys are still going to put up points. And I always talk about the Breeze offense in terms of really enabling the initiation cutter. Mm-hmm. Between those three and Rowan McDonald, you have four initiation cutters that are really enabled by the Breeze offensive style. Get someone loose for a big 30-yard underneath. And then that, in turn, draws some defense. Everyone kind of looks up, learns, reorients himself to how the disc has moved. And in that time, they often release another hook to the end zone. They get a big 30-yard under and often an assist.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest points of having that initiation cutter that can actually have the confidence to throw it deep. Because you have some smaller guys that can get that first open look and get open for you. But if their next option is only a 10-yard throw down the field, what are you going to do? All four of those guys that you just mentioned are not afraid to release it deep or holster it as well and then let the offense flow.
And you know, that's to their credit, it's so easy to play that role and end up with an 85% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Look at Marquez Brownlee last year for Philadelphia. All over the league, you know, to be able to play that role and do so at a 91-95% completion is also outstanding, and it's what makes these players so great.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's one thing that these guys all bring as well is experience. And the youngest out of all four of them, I think, is Max Castle. He graduated from UND, I think, 3 years ago.
Maybe, yeah, that sounds right. 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
But I mean, we're looking at him he's the youngest guy of the experienced initiation cutters that's 25, 26 years old, which is a little bit rare, especially in the pro ultimate scene, at least in terms of the Eastern Division.
Yeah, I think you're right. So you alluded to it right out the gate there, though. While they can bring back a stellar universe line that can match up with the best in the league, they've also lost a lot of depth this year. 12 of the top... of the 12 players that played the most points for the Breeze in 2017, 6 are gone. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge hit. A lot of it was injury, really. Bloodgood out with a collarbone. Shields has a head injury at the moment. His status is unknown for at least a month here, probably. And Alan Kolick out with the MCL tear. Huge losses in all three cases. And they're also missing, to their own accord, Tyler Monroe, Jonathan Neely, and Chuck Cantone. You know, how do you, when you look at that list, what kind of roles do you think the Breeze are going to be looking to fill? What do those guys have in common, and maybe, you know, I don't know, what weakness do they present?
Well, with all these guys that you said, they all have a key role that, in my opinion, no other guy can come in and fill in their shoes. They all had that one thing that was a little bit different that made them dynamic in that role. But with new guys, it's going to be how are they going to step into those shoes and perform differently? And if you have someone that may not be doing the same exact thing that Alan Kolick did, but they're doing something that's just as effective in terms of scoring points and being effective on the field, is that really a loss and whatnot? But obviously, Kolick, huge loss. He can cut, he can handle, he can huck it deep, he can do anything that you want, and all of it at a high level and energy level, and he's the guy that you want to have be the face of your franchise.
Yeah, you're kind of talking, I caught up with that last thought you had there, which is kind of like the money ball theory, right? Is like you're losing this intangible value of someone that scores goals in this fashion. You don't need to score the goals in the same fashion, but you still got to score goals.
Yeah, you miss the guy that, like, I don't want to use the Miami Marlins as a role here because it's a completely different scenario, but you lose a guy that hit 60 home runs last year. But if you have 6 guys that are hitting 20 home runs, do the math, you're hitting more home runs this year even though you don't have that one guy.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's an interesting way to conceptualize this. One of the guys on here that really sticks out to me, and I think it's easy given, you know, how celebrated Kolick is, how celebrated Tyler Monroe is, the season that Bloodgood had last year, but the guy that I really call attention to is actually Chuck Cantone.
Yeah.
He's played this super utility. And maybe I'm thinking about it a little bit, a perspective you can probably get behind as well from the coaching standpoint. You're assembling these lines of seven, and each one of them has a specific purpose to go out in the field and, hey, you're to get a turn by playing zone. You are to punch this in by kind of setting up a horizontal stack. Whatever, and regardless of that role, you know, whether it's Chuck Cantone's years of experience or just his play style that is so flexible, he is able to be the seventh guy on nearly any one of those lines.
Yeah.
He split time on O&D last year. He played a wide variety. You know, how do you replace a guy like that?
You don't. And being a guy that played that utility role for majority of college, it's a fun position to be in if you're Chuck, but it's as a coach, it's just so hard to lose a guy that you can just rely on. And when you're choosing lines and you're just like, oh, who do I put on next? You're like, oh, duh, why is he not considered on this? So he's another guy that he can handle and he can keep you above 90% the entire game. Another guy who can never drop the disc. And when it's stall 8, stall 9, and your handler that isn't afraid to throw it deep, doesn't have an option, he magically is open in the middle of the field.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the truth? I remember a couple of those. So I am not quite able to buy into this line of thinking of replace the 60 home runs guy with three guys that hit 20. Mm-hmm. I want a new utility guy. And so I was really scanning this roster and who might develop into that role. And particularly the new guys and what scouting I've done, what playing I've done, seeing the tryouts, that type of thing. And the two candidates that jumped to mind were Matt Neely. Mm-hmm. We've had Jonathan Neely on the team, not playing this year as mentioned. You know, potentially Matt Neely coming in. A guy that I think certainly has that offensive side of the disc and can really change directions in the backfield. He's a guy that was raised on Goldschmidt, which you know is near and dear to my heart.
And he's a West Coast guy, so he brings a little bit different philosophy to the game as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then the other one that jumped out at me is Pete Mancini. Maybe a guy that I wonder about his offensive creds as much, but I think he's got the positioning, the footwork, the raw speed to certainly be that utility on defense. Are there other guys in this roster that jump to your mind?
One guy that if you are following the team, you might not have really heard of him before, but if you know the DC Ultimate Scene, you're familiar with his name, and that's Eric Miner, Astro, often known as.
Yeah.
He's a great utility guy. He's not going to go and shock you, and he's not going to go lay out and make Del Rico Johnson-type plays, but he'll get you two or three Ds a game if he's a starter, and he'll be that second or third cutter just getting the disc whenever he's needed, and he's not going to make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right of Eric Miner, a.k.a. Astro, as he often goes by. Yeah, I think he gets typecast a little more. I wonder if maybe just by having the body size he does as a big 6'4"
guy. He's a great mark. Yeah. He's a great mark to have defensively.
Yeah, I always typecast him in those type of roles that you'd put your tallest best in the air. But maybe you're right. Maybe he can also play that backfield guy. Maybe he can also play, you know, the quick undercutter. I mean, he still gets there for sure.
Yeah, essentially it dials down to what is Coach Stanley and his crew going to decide who's going to be in these certain moments to have the opportunity to be that guy on the field. Because, I mean, we saw last season, we pretty much knew what was going to happen with the team for the most part, and then we had a guy like Nathan Pryor all of a sudden show up in the middle of the season, take a starting player's role, and then he's leading the offense the rest of the season.
Yeah, or signing a guy like Joe Freund halfway through the season.
That too, yeah.
Yeah, but you actually took that question in an interesting and different direction, because I was thinking, who are we adding to this roster that is going to be so new and exciting? And you went with a tried and true Eric Miner, a guy that's known around the city. I think there are other guys lurking on previous year's rosters that might also fit that role. Troy Holland, mm-hmm. maybe one. A guy with raw athleticism, certainly the defensive prowess. But if he can, you know, start to play an offensive role as well, maybe he can be the Cantone of my heart.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple of younger guys that were rookies last year that we didn't really see a lot on the field.
Because playing time is hard to come by.
It is hard to come by, especially when you have last year, such a deep roster that the team had. I mean, the top 21 guys, I remember one of my posts I had on the Breeze's website, if they can have all 21 guys make it to game day, I put the Breeze's top 21 a year ago against any other team in the league.
Right.
So it's hard to work your way up, and you have to really give credit to the guys that do. But back to your point, Joe Richards, he's going to be a guy second year with the team.
Sure.
What's he going to do?
He's had some throwaways, but certainly a defender extraordinaire.
Yeah, he is always able to be there and make those plays, especially defensively. Corey Broyles, we didn't see a lot of him last year. Same with Johnny Malks.
Yeah.
How are those guys going to step up and fill into those empty roles that now sit on the team?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's a good point. Here's a returner that was on the roster last year, but 0 points played. Super excited to have Brad Scott back in the mix after a double hip surgery.
He's excited. I talked to him getting a preview post ready for this weekend, and it was just over email, but I can just feel the excitement, like, reverberating off of my...
Yeah, how does Brad Scott show excitement in an email? Is it like the alternating one exclamation mark?
No,
like, he got so excited, shift couldn't even be held down?
Yeah, just the colorful language that he was using, and just... Like, when I ask for quotes for some of these guys for these stories, some guys, they give me, like, one or two liners. I got graphs from Brad. He is ready to go. He is so excited to work with Coach Stanley, because... You go, not only was he not on the team, but he didn't practice much with the guys either.
Right.
So he's wants to get in with these new crew. He didn't get the young guys that he typically that got playing time. He hasn't really played with Lloyd that much. He hasn't played with Rico that much. He wants to see what it's like, especially on a professional field.
Sure.
Playing against these young, faster guys that Brad Scott's a pretty fast guy too, but
sure.
Now he's the older statesman, if you will, that's coming off a couple of hip surgeries.
Yeah, certainly just by injury track record, the older statesman. But you brought up a good point. I'll take a brief pause here to remind everyone to check out thedcbreeze.com, where you just put up a kind of a scouting preparation for the 2018 season article. Worth checking out for sure. You can find a lot of the things and some more of your thoughts if you go to thedcbreeze.com.
Yeah, it's basically kind of a synopsis of what we're going over right now. Like, afterwards, once this is up, I'm going to email Don and be like, hey, let's embed this in the bottom of the post because it's going to fit in perfectly. But it just gives you a quick synopsis of guys who are returning, what they did a year ago, the new guys, who's played in the AUDL before, who hasn't played in the AUDL, who played else professionally, and then some of the rookies as well.
Tell me your thoughts then about another import to the team, a guy that played for the Thunderbirds last year, Xavier Maxtat.
I am excited for Xavier Maxtat, and I think most of the Breeze should too. I remember when the roster announcement came out, I was like, why are we not leading with Xavier Maxtat being the guy coming on the team with the roster announcement? But if you have a chance, he has a couple of Callahan videos out there. He has the official one, and then he has the off-ed, make sure you are not watching around young children version that his team put out. But he has some phenomenal throws. Again, a lot of this is from the college days, so shorter field, smaller field. But he has been a fun highlight reel player. And not only does he have great throws, but he's just an all-around athletic guy. But how will he be inserted into this Breeze offense, especially being the new guy that sometimes you have to maybe question his decision-making?
Yeah, certainly that's the concern there. I've got kind of the concern, and then I also have what has redeemed my faith. The concern being turnovers. Last year on Pittsburgh, 33 turnovers. No one on the Breeze had that many turnovers. That's six more than Jonathan Neely had. And Jonathan Neely accumulated that many turns in something like an extra 100 completions.
Yeah, he touched the desk every point he was on.
Right. So Maxtat certainly doesn't look like a fit just statistically from that standpoint. Got to control his decision-making because he's got the throws to make if he can choose which ones to go for.
Yeah, I want to he's a better handler than Tyler Monroe was, but sometimes, especially his first rookie season, we kind of maybe questioned a little bit of Tyler Monroe's decision-making.
Yeah, you're right.
But if he just like took a half second longer before he ripped it deep, he would have had a beautiful open look to another cutter. I kind of see that comparison to Xavier. Maybe not this season, where we still see that brute athleticism, and then a year from now when he's able to refine his craft. But he's been removed for college a lot longer than Tyler Monroe has.
That's
as
true.
Well. So maybe he's a year further in that process. We're just trying to give you another reason to go out on Saturday to Catholic University.
Yeah, see what's going on. So I'll tell you, so that was the concern, but I'll tell you the near insta, I walked into the tryouts, you know, that looming in the back of my mind as I saw the Maxtat jersey out on the field. But what I don't know Xavier Maxtat for is his tenacious defense. Mm-hmm. And at tryouts, that was on full display.
Yeah.
So for each one of those turnovers, excited that he could be a guy that wins it back, or maybe even gets some looks on defense from time to time. I don't know how Stanley will use him.
Yeah, we mentioned how we opened the show with they have a dominant universe line that's going to be coming back, guys that you can rely on. I'm going to be interested to see the first time where we need a universe line. Is Xavier going to be inserted into that role just because of he always has a little bit extra that you don't necessarily get from some other guys on the team. Good, bad, and different, take that as you will.
Another guy that's being added, and I think I'm speaking about guys that have kind of track records either in the area, on the national stage, before we speculate more about some of the young upside guys. Gabe Webster, a guy that's been on the scene for a couple years in D.C., quite a few years, I should say.
He's played with you and John Doe?
He's played with me on John Doe, certainly. Captain John Doe, a team that I've played for, an amateur team in the area. He's an exciting player, I think, to watch because of the way that the Breeze empower the initiation cutter. Mm-hmm. I said it off the top, you know, Kerrigan, Wodatch, Rome McDonald. The reason they thrived on this team is because that is such a pivotal role, the way that the Breeze run an offense. And I see some of those same tools in Gabe Webster, so I'll see if he kind of enters that rotation. You need, over the course of a 48-minute game, 6-7 sets of legs that can play that role. And if Webster can get into that rotation, I think we got a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, especially, I know he enjoys playing defense as well, so maybe he could be that guy on defense with the handler contention that we somewhat have coming back, and we also have Brad Scott coming back as well. So I see a perfect starting spot for him on the defense, if that is the direction Coach Stanley decides to go.
So I made the point about, you know, it's easy to talk about these guys that have track records elsewhere, but it's easy to get down on a roster or think, oh my gosh, look at all this turnover, when you've got a lot of players without that track record. And there are a lot of other newcomers, but I guess the point that I'll make here is it shouldn't really be a judgment of past performance, because I care about performance in 2018.
Yeah.
So it really is going to be about watching this early season, keeping our fingers close to the pulse to see what some of these new guys with, I think, high upside can bring. And so with that in mind, I'll bring up guys and I'll let you choose from the litany. You know, Houston Parks of the world, Aaron Langley, Christian Boxley. There's two brothers, the Bergeron brothers. Are there any of those guys that kind of pique your interest to see where the 2018 could take them?
Yeah, I mean, all these guys are athletic, and I think that's one of the main reasons why they made the team. One guy I've had the honor of playing with him, Leo Pearson,
it's a good candidate, too.
He's a speedster. He's a guy that can jump out of the gate, go 0 to 60, just like that.
60-mile-an-hour man.
Yeah, you don't want to get into a foot race with Leo. While his throws may not entirely be developed there yet, he's going to win a one-on-one foot race to the end zone, and if it's like stall 8, stall 9... You look for number 78 to be going deep, and hopefully one of the Breeze guys can send it to him. Another guy, he's not a rookie per se, Kyle Khalifa. He played with Zach Norbaum, who didn't get much action last year. Of course, he still was
in
Washington, so that trek from Fredericksburg to D.C., which is never easy, doesn't make it any easier on weekends.
Although I stopped in on a practice on a weekday night where Zach had class the other day, and he's got class, 2.5 hours from D.C., don't tell any of his professors, but he was at Breeze practice.
Yeah, Zach, he's a character, that's for sure. But those two guys, I love seeing those two guys on the same line together because they just flow off each other. They know each other, what they're going to do. And while Kyle Khalifa hasn't played with the Breeze since 2015, he spent a year with the Current, and I think that was a big moment for him to play high-level ultimate and play as a starter, where when he was with the Breeze, he was just kind of one of those role players.
That's right.
And when he goes on a road trip, that there may be not a lot of guys out there, he finally gets that playing time. But if it's a home game where we have a full roster, he may see a handful of points.
Yeah, and given that experience, also not a guy that's going to freeze up his first couple times out there, which is important. But I guess where I was going with some of those names as well is, I think there's a way to insert some of those high athletic guys into mid-game, late-game situations, an opposing offense that is becoming complacent, suddenly changes their tempo, changes what the defense is trying to take away, and, you know, when Christian Boxley gets out there, when Houston Parks get out there, it'll be interesting to see if they can use those assets effectively.
Yeah, and we saw Coach Stanley a year ago. He was not afraid to mix up the offensive unit that he puts out there. If the offensive unit goes out there 2 points in a row and they don't score or they don't look like they're in their normal flow, he'll put 5 new guys out there and be like, hey, you're the offensive line. You got to take care of business while I talk to these guys on the bench. For the most part, they did pretty well a year ago, those role-playing guys, some of these Troy Hollins, the Johnny Malks, just kind of stepping in because they were the next guy up mentality. But a year removed from that, now we have a new crop of guys that got to do that.
Of the, kind of the stat line of thinking, one of the stories that I'm following closely this year is Max Castle stats. No one in a Breeze roster has ever put up a 40-40 season. Only 3 players have ever put up a 30-40 season. That's 30 assists and 40 goals. Max Castle is one of those 3 players. Other ones being Tyler DiGirolamo and Jeff Wodach. So maybe Jeff Wodach should be in the same conversation, saying, you know, is this a year with a little bit leaning heavier on some of the top talent that someone in a Breeze jersey can put up a 40-40 season?
Interesting point that you bring. I think, again, if you ask me this question after game one, I think I'll have a whole lot better answer for you. But I think we might see some of these offensive guys that we're going to expect them to play offense might play more defensive points than we expect.
The rumbling that I've heard is that particularly Matt Kerrigan might do some more crossing over this year.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, we talked about, imagine a trio of cutters of Kerrigan, Castle, and Wodach.
Yeah.
You have
see
to
you later.
The best defense. Yeah, you have to get the best defense
blow you away
out there to slow them down. But we could have, you know how last year was fun with Del Rico and Rowan having their D's contest. Who's going to win, which I'm pretty sure it ended in a tie, or Rico won by one because Rowan played offense for the final game of the season.
I think Rico won that.
But aside from the point, we may have an arms race, if you will, between those 3 guys because Lloyd, who's going to be handling, Nathan Pryor, who I'm assuming is going to stay with the O-line and handle with them, those aren't guys that are going to try and score. Like, nothing against Alan Kolick, but last year when...
He pushed upfield.
He would push upfield, and if his defender was slagging on him, he'll just go. And
right.
He has no problems taking that easy strike cut and telling everyone else in the sack to just hang out. Those guys, while they can make those cuts, they aren't going to be the guy on the field that's like, hey, let me take over now. They're going to let the playmakers make plays on the field.
So I'm going to end it with some lighthearted questions, and let's see off the cusp if you've got some good answers for me.
I forgot I signed up for this at the end of a podcast.
Oh yeah, you welcome to the Thunderdome. Welcome to the Windy Dome. We are moving from Gallaudet University to Catholic University. We're going from the Bison mascot to the Cardinals. Upgrade? Downgrade? Indifference?
Mascot?
Yep.
I'm a Cardinal guy.
You're a Cardinal guy?
Yeah.
Why is that? That's a Virginia State bird, right?
Yeah. I just...
No love for the Bison?
No, I prefer Cardinals.
I think you're mistaken.
Yeah. Cardinals are a very beautiful bird. They're majestic. They're vibrant.
Is that what we want on the field? What about fierceness?
Have you been watching the DC Breeze the past couple of years?
I want the Stampede.
Oh, you want the Stampede? Okay, I get that analogy. I'll still go with the Cardinal.
Okay.
We are an air sport, so.
Oh, there you go. Sure, yeah. The huge vertical on Bisons. All right, let me ask you this. Best dressed on Breeze 2018. Prediction. I mean, there's a clear answer that's going to go funky style and potentially win this thing. Or is it a best dressed, like, suit and tie?
So you're talking off the bus type of guy, not the or who shows up at the stadium. Not
yeah,
Breeze.
Right. So this is for away fans to show up, see who's coming off the bus and what... I mean, it could be about game day swag a little bit, too. In fact, I'll give you 2 different categories. We got game day swag and we got off the bus cleanest t-shirt.
I'm probably just gonna have to go with the veterans. Sorry, rookies. I haven't seen you guys much on the Breeze. I'll go with the first one on the who's gonna be the swaggiest on the field in terms of outfit, and I think that's gonna be a runner-up or a close contest between either Zach Norbaum, who I know he likes his face paint.
Oh yeah,
he likes his face.
That's a good X factor. I didn't think about that.
And of course, Rowan gonna have to be up there as well.
Yeah, he might have one of the, I don't know, are they called neckies?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have Roan, Troy Holland. I could see with a Necky. I think DeRico Johnson's got to be.
Oh yeah, he does too.
A candidate with a Necky, but also changing up the hairstyle. Might get some bleach tips at some point. I could see out of him.
He wears two different colored cleats. I've seen him wear purple and orange cleats in the same game.
So
and change them in between.
I have not noticed that, but that's a good thing to keep an eye out for.
In terms of off the bus.
Yeah, who's off the bus? I think this is the one. This is what I was assuming was a shoe-in, or at least a front runner.
But how about you go, and I'll feed off of that.
I think the front runner's got to be Brad Scott.
Okay,
here's a guy that you know you've heard of Hawaiian shirts, but it's typically like Hawaiian pants.
Yeah,
and it might be a Hawaiian shirt and refashioned
both.
As pants.
Yeah, you might get both of them coming off the bus with him. I could see Jeff Wodach as well.
I could see that a little bit.
Yeah,
dark horse newcomer if you're into the homeless look, Houston Parks. I could see him just being completely unshaven, unkempt after a long bus ride.
He fits that junior college player type role very well.
Yeah, that's about right. All right, good. Well, those are important things to keep a lookout for too, as long as our stat watch.
Yeah.
Early candidates for most D's this year. You want to take a roll on that? We got both returners last year, but it's again which line they play for. Sometimes it's going to come into it.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Roan move over to offense more frequently, even though we probably saw him split time a lot last year. I'm a little bit biased because he responded to my email, but I think Brad Scott is going to have a sense of purpose this year that's really going to help out the defensive unit.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. As much as Roan might play primarily offense, he's still going to get looks on D.
It's true.
And there's still going to be opportunities. And the thing that I like about watching Roan McDonald, and I know this for a fact, is his mindset, is if the disc is in the air, You just got to get a touch on it, even if it's like an overthrow or else otherwise. And if you get that touch on it, stat keeper going to count a block.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
That'll probably net him at least one or two extra bonus blocks over the course of the year.
And we're saying that, and now we know Rico's going to listen to this podcast and call us both out on Twitter and be like, okay, I see what you guys are going with this.
So. Yeah. I mean, Rico, there was a year in his pro play that Rico crossed over to offense too.
Yeah. His last year with the Current.
Yeah.
He moved over to offense just to kind of get the playmaking ability. I think it really helped his throws as well. I think it was a huge development for him in his game, although we're kind of going off the rails a little bit in terms of defense, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I see that same crossover for Rico this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any inside scoop on that. But if he's a starting D-line player, which seems likely, let's get called out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Second best, Rico Johnson.
I always tell people I'm okay being wrong in my hot takes. And normally it's for a good reason, because whether I'm working for George Mason or if I'm working for The Breeze, it's normally for the benefit of our guys.
Yeah, I mean, I named the podcast Hot Air on purpose because I knew that, yeah, I was just shooting in the dark, really.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Thank you, Tyler, for coming on the podcast. With that said, if there's any other Breeze things or non-Breeze things, I'm willing to turn over a hot mic to you right now. You've got a minute to share with the people of Breeze Nation, Breeze Heads, whatever you like.
Well, be sure to just stay glued to the website. Of course, we have a brand new DC Breeze website. You got to go to theaudl.com/breeze. That's going to be where you're going to be the home of all the new content. I think the AUDL did a fantastic job with the redesign of the entire web.
It looks good.
Yeah, bring all the teams in. All the stats are there, and I'm a stat head, so I love being able to have all the stats in one spot. I mean, no offense to Ulti Analytics, but AUDL's stat site is looking good this year.
Yeah, a little bit more accessible.
But we're going to have a ton of content coming to you guys. I mean, of course, we have the preview that we always do. I always have the recap. My stats piece isn't going anywhere for those people who identify with me in terms of numbers. It will be there hopefully every Monday or Tuesday of the week. But we have some guys coming in, freelance writers, helping me out. We'll be able to get some features on certain players throughout the year, and we'll be able to try and tell the Breeze story a little bit better this season.
There are a couple nonprofits. I could do them in isolation and then throw them on the podcast later. I'm going to do them live with you. If you've got thoughts on anyone here, chime in. But a testament to the Breeze that really there's some more nonprofit partnership in D.C., and so we've got three partners this year that I want to take a moment here just to discuss and talk about, mention a little bit. Spirit of the Sport, it's a new nonprofit, just started in this last year, for underprivileged kids throughout the region to get a disc in their hands, to teach them how to play Ultimate, and in that thing that we value about Ultimate, that spirit of the game, that conflict resolution skills, with a real focus on that type of thing for youth, and that's exciting to see. Also, we partnered with, or one of our partners this year is the American Equity Invite, which is a youth girls tournament on June 2nd and 2nd and 3rd, where the Breeze will be on hand, and they're the official championship field sponsors. So we'll get presence at that invite tournament.
Note with that as well, along those same lines, make sure you guys mark your calendars for the weekend that the Breeze travel to Pittsburgh, because I'm hearing some rumblings that there might be some special stuff coming that weekend as well.
Ooh, that's an inside scoop I haven't heard. Cool. And then the last partner in the community, nonprofit in DC area, is forestplanet.org. The Breeze have teamed up with them to plant a tree for every paid ticket of the 2018 season. So know also that, you're coming out to a game, you're supporting tree planting in the community, you're supporting the Breeze. We hope to see you out there, and forestplanet.org, excited to be partnered with them.
Yeah, and just gives you a reason, even if you know you can't make the game, just buy a ticket. I mean, it helps the trees, it helps the Breeze as well, but you also get just another reason to just take care of business, get a ticket early on.
That's a good, that's a good like off-day training regimen for Breeze players. Probably go out and plant a couple trees.
Yeah, I mean,
digging holes.
Yeah, exactly.
Build those
you
triceps.
Get that wrist muscles.
The wrist muscles,
yeah.
The forearm.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, we'll get some. You and I might be out there digging some holes, helping out Forest Planet at some point. But I think there'll be some Breeze players as well.
It would be a good problem to have, I would say, if they need us to come and help them plant trees as well. I'll sign up for it.
Perfect. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Until next time, we'll have some actual real results to discuss from the 2018 season. Thanks a lot. Adios.